Amen. Thank you, brother. I'll grab that, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, buddy. This is one of my favorite Sundays because we have a little bit more freedom time-wise, and it doesn't mean I'm going to preach longer today, don't worry. It's also a time where we get to be in a unique setting, and we get the ongoing social experiment of who breaks the blue tape first. Right? Because we tape off those top four, and as we're doing it, I anticipate and I always kind of try and watch and see who's going to break that. I think that we've got a front row. It might be the McKenzies who have been the first row. No? Maybe? Come on. It's really fun. And it's good because we've got so many people, we're flowing back. So, Chanel, can I invite you to make your way up here? Chanel is just back from a YWAM trip to the beautiful country of Belize and another place, which she's going to talk about in a little bit. Now, I'm going to entrust you with this microphone.
Is this the one that I got to...
Yep.
Right there.
Right okay. there. Right, right. there. Chanel, welcome home. Let's welcome Chanel home.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. So Chanel and I met earlier this week, and we had a little bit of a conversation, and the things that she said first were the things that I believe we need to hear. And so, Chanel, what was one of the most important things that you learned, that you walked away with from your time at YWAM? And before you get there, so think about that question, even though you know how you're going to answer it, give us 30 seconds summary on what YWAM is, and what you did, so we've got a little context.
Okay, so YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission, and there's bases all over the world. Like, when I was trying to figure out where to go, I was so confused because they're literally everywhere. And so you do, the first 3 months is a DTS training program, which also stands for Disciple Trainingship School. And so you go there, and you have speakers fly in every week, and they're teaching you different parts of the Bible, and you're just applying it to your life and just kind of seeking what God wants you to learn and to kind of bring into the open. And then you take what you learned and you put it into outreach. And I went to Zambia, Africa for that. And that was 2 months. So total
Beautiful.
5 months.
Excellent. Youth, if you're thinking of what to do, and actually it's not just for youth, is it?
No, one of my roommates was 30 years old.
30 years old?
So...
30 years old.
Okay.
Hey, come on. Go easy on her.
Hey, I thought it was for people. Father. It is. I thought it was all going to be my age, but I was one of the youngest ones. The youngest was 18, I was 19, and then everybody else, it was like my brother's ages, but there it was like age wasn't a thing.
Yeah,
and
really good.
That was something I'd never experienced.
Russ, how old were you when you went the first time? Or over 30. So even over 30 can go. That's good. Chanel, what was one of the things that you learned about and brought back? Tell us a little bit.
Definitely one of the things that God taught me and changed my heart towards was community. And it was my own choices that, like, my view of community was definitely a lot different because I would come to church and, like, a lot of my relationships were very, like, surface-based. And I would just go home and that was community. That's what I thought. That was all that it could really be. And going to YWAM, man, just like thinking about the people that I met makes me want to start crying because like the bonds that we made and like the things that we shared were incredible. Like God showed me what community actually is, and they kept saying like we're made for community by the perfect community, and I kept hearing those words but not really understanding what they meant. And it was just crazy because these people that I literally didn't even know the names of, people that I didn't know, became my family in under 2 weeks. And it was so crazy because, I'll put like an acronym to this, but it's like when you show someone your house for the first time, you close those certain doors that, you know, it's messy inside and, you know, maybe like moldy food or something is in there and you just don't want to clean it up and you're trying to get like the main part of it all nice. And like you take these people that you don't know and you go into those rooms. We went into those rooms, but we chose it. Like, we chose vulnerability so well as a school And that's something that I've really wanted to take back, and I have been. When I share with people about my trip, they're like, wow, I didn't expect you to just tell me all of that. And it's just because it's been a part of my life for the past 5 months of just being super vulnerable with people that once I didn't even know, but because of that, I got to know them so well. And then, like I said, in under 2 weeks, they became my family. And it was just crazy to see. And man, like, I want that so badly here. And I, like, God just changed my heart so much. And, like, I have so much passion and, like, hunger to have that here. And so, yeah, it's been super amazing.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say two things right now. The first is that God has used that image of a house, even within the last month in the church. We talked about My Heart, Christ's Home. Anybody remember that conversation? And the one disadvantage with the analogy as it's laid out in that is it doesn't have community in it. And we are formed by, as Chanel said, the perfect community to engage one another in community. And to do it hidden, to try and deal with things that are hidden, the moldy food and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. It comes back. When you do it in community and you have people that support you, it stays clean. So that's the first thing.
Can I say one more thing?
Go, come on.
Okay.
Team preach.
As a school, we just kind of realized that God can only cover something with his blood if it's uncovered. Mm. And yes, it was really hard at times because there's certain things, certain like things that you've done, sin, whatever it is, that makes you feel gross and shameful and all this guilt. And you close that door for a reason because you don't want to open it. You don't want to show that part of your life. And that's so much of what, like, society tells us, that we have to put on these masks of that, oh, yeah, we're great, we're fine, like, my life's awesome, when really inside there's a lot going on because we're not all perfect. And even though I did that, like, I'm still not, and I'm still working on things. And it was just really cool to see people drop those masks while we were there and, like, actually tell you, like, how you're doing. And that's one thing that's kind of been hard coming home to, is because I'll ask people, so how you doing? And they're like, I'm good. No, but, like, how are you? And they're like, I'm good. I'm like, you sure about that one? Because they're, like, you, like, ask how you're doing, and you spend an hour talking to them, whether that's crying or in rejoicing. Like, it's just so much of being straightforward with each other. And, yeah, it was just, yeah, it was awesome.
Excellent. Now, I'm going to take this moment, because it's the right moment, to tell you that in 2 weeks' time, so that's June 26th, mm-hmm. we have a special guest pastor, speaker, who is going to be coming. And his name is Ken Dyke. He is the one who has authored Freedom Sessions. Now, we've mentioned Freedom Sessions and have been talking about it for the last year, anticipating that we are going to be launching it. And we will be launching it. It looks like all systems are go for next fall. And so I really want to strongly encourage you, because you're here today, to make sure that you're there on the 26th. I also want to ask for you to please invite both people from our Crossroads community. Really encourage them to be there, because we believe that this is going to be a key part of our discipleship process moving forward, and we want to discern, is God actually moving us in this direction? But also invite people from the community around, people that would identify or that you can see are living in that place where they're in bondage, where they're locked down, where they're tied up. So that's 2 weeks. Make sure you're there and invite our community around us. Now, Chanel.
Wait, can I say one more thing?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. There's just so much packed into 5 months.
Yeah.
But another thing that our school kind of realized is that when we put on the armor of God every morning, like, it's not covering our back, and that's for a reason. Like, that's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ, so that they can have our backs, so that we can go to them and we can fight this fight together. And, oh man, it makes me so pumped talking about it, because I just experienced so much, and it, like, makes me so happy to think about, and, like, thinking about in the future having this here and working on that and choosing that. I'm excited.
This is good. Really good. We've got each other's back. Now, this exchange is probably good. I was told earlier this week that sometimes my voice sounds like chocolate. And so people stop listening to my voice because they're just lulled into the sound of it. And I thought, I'm not sure if I should be complimented or... So this is good especially for ADHD people, because it's lots going on, right? Lots going on. Now, Chanel, community was important down there. You have your back. How do you plan to maintain that coming back here, where you're not actually living in that small, sharing multiple people in one room and all that? How do you bring that back into our culture the way that we are set up?
Mm-hmm. That's still something that I'm working on and kind of letting God move in. And I think before I was kind of limited God on who he brought into my life, me kind of already having these ideas of, oh, well, me and that person aren't really alike, so I'm not really even going to try, but really letting God bring whoever into my life and actually putting in that effort to make those relationships. And again, just be vulnerable and just kind of casting away the spirit of judgment and just saying, like, no, I'm going to trust that this is my brother and this is my sister, and I'm going to give them my heart, and I'm just going to, trust that they're going to carry it and, like, that they can do the same for me, and just, bringing in that spirit of vulnerability and just kind of hoping that that's infectious, because it was for our school. As soon as that one person started to be vulnerable, it changed the atmosphere and brought everybody else into vulnerability. So
it's good. It's good. It's a good challenge for us as well, right? We like to live in our silos and to isolate. And God calls us into community, and it's possible. It's difficult the way that we live in our homes, but it's possible. Which is where we want to especially encourage you to consider life groups. And you want to talk to Dan in the back there about life groups that are wrapping up now, but will be starting, and hopefully some new ones in the fall as well. Okay. Now, Chanel, you did a thing called outreach. Tell us where you went for your outreach.
I went to Zambia, Africa for my outreach.
Zambia, Africa. Amazing. Now, what is one of the most important things that you learned on outreach?
Definitely that would be the power of prayer. And it was something that I've always heard, and it's like a lot of things growing up in church. Like, I've heard so much, yet over the last 5 months, so many like things actually clicked. I understood them more. And it's funny that you're talking about chocolate, but like our team, even before we left, our leader would say, okay, well, let's dip this situation in chocolate, because everything is so much better dipped in chocolate, right? And at first I was like, what does that even mean? Are we having chocolate right now? Like, what? And she is just saying how, like, whether the situation is big or little, bad or good, dip it in chocolate by praying. Like, just pray, because it does change things. And it makes the situation so much better. Just like chocolate, it's so much sweeter and all that. And so there's just many situations where you would think we'd want to, like, claw each other's eyeballs out, but we had already, like, I guess our team had a very good unity, and that was because we prayed for it, and also, like, we had large personalities, I guess you could say, and we thought that we were going to butt heads a lot, and so we kept praying about it, and getting there, like I said, situations where you'd want to claw each other's eyeballs out, we actually were able to choose joy instead, and it was something that I'd never really even thought about, but instead of choosing happiness, because happiness is so based off of a feeling and a circumstance, that if we decided to choose happiness, we would have probably had a horrible time. And instead, we chose to lean on God to give us this joy. And we had a crazy amount of joy in times that just doesn't even make sense, and it's only because of God that we're able to do that. And there's just so many times where prayer just changed so many things, and I'm going to tell one story of, yeah. It was actually not on outreach, but there was lots of other stories on outreach of prayer, but this one that really impacted me, it was before we went on outreach, and we had a whole bunch of money due. There was about six of us, and I was thinking, God, like, I have no idea how I'm going to get this money. Like, I don't have any money left, and, like, I just don't know what to do. And he kept saying, like, don't worry. And I was really trying, and everybody was saying, like, don't worry. But it's totally in our hands to have the faith to not worry. And so a lot kind of followed after that. And I got to a place of believing and having faith. And we had a night of praying and worship. And there's about $16,000 that needed to be raised. And under 2 hours, all of it was raised for every single person. So that was like it blew, like it just blew my mind at how that even happened. Everybody was just, every single time a name got wiped off of like the whiteboard, everybody would just start cheering and go like tackle the person, and they'd be crying and everyone's crying, and it was just crazy to see that like something that seems impossible. And like we were talking about miracles last Sunday and how those things seem impossible, but praying and believing that God can do it, like, it's not impossible. Like, our God is so unstoppable, and it's just really crazy.
Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. Thanks, Chanel. I'm going to ask you to pray for us as a church.
Yeah. All right, Dad, I just want to first thank you so much for who you are, the dad that you are, the father that you are, the husband that you are, and the friend that you are. You just blow my mind away every single day and how relentless you are in pursuing us, even when our hearts aren't always in the right places and our hearts aren't always focused on you. And Jesus, I just pray that just for every single person here, for community, God, I pray for unity in every single one of us. I pray that we choose to go deeper in relationships. I pray that right now you place certain friendships on our heart that we need to go deeper into, that it's not surface-based, but that it can really truly be what you desire for community, God. I pray that when we put on the armor of God, that we realize we don't have to do this fight alone. That's why you put brothers and sisters in our life for a reason, that we can work together at this, that we can grow together in this, Jesus. And I pray that we realize the power of prayer, that we can turn to you in the big things and the small things, whether it's thanking you or just asking you, God. And I just pray that you just put your hand upon Joel as he speaks, that you open our eyes and our ears to really see and hear what's on your heart today for us, that you can just really change something in us, that something can click, that we can just have so much passion to hear your word, so much passion to dig deeper into you, so much passion to just grow closer and want you, God. Yeah, I just keep getting passion, God, and I just pray for more passion to just light up in here, that these fires that we have in our heart for you, that they just become an uncontrollable furnace. They just don't want to stop, that we can just think about you and we can have conversations with you all day. And that it won't be like robotic, God, that it'll actually have heart in it, that it'll have what's actually going on in our lives, whether it's good or bad, that we'll be able to just talk to you like you're right in front of us. I pray this in your name, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Chanel, thank you for representing Crossroads. That's perfect. When you went, because that's what you did, you represented, and you come back and you inspire us. Doesn't it, are you inspired right now? Yeah, it's good. Thank you. So good. So good. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Matthew 6, verse 5. And one of the things that we have coming up at the end of this week is, or partway through this week, starting on Thursday, is our 3 days of prayer. And we are inviting everybody here to consider taking on a portion or being part of that time of prayer. And last week, if you recall, we finished with these three ideas. The first is that we need to walk with Jesus. And I believe I've got that slide up there from last week. It might be a little further down. But the first is that we need to walk with Jesus. We start that walk by submitting our hearts to him. The second thing we do is we need to talk with Jesus. And that's where we engage in prayer. And I don't know if you heard or caught, when Chanel started her prayer, she said, Dad, right? And Jesus modeled that by using the word Abba, which is like a child saying to the Father, Daddy, Abba, Father. So we've got our walking with Jesus, our talking with Jesus, and then finally we have our working with Jesus. Now, if we get those out of order, we begin to have a spirit of religiosity. We become as those who are trying to earn or trying to manufacture, trying to force, and the yoke then that we're carrying, because we all are called to work and engage, the yoke doesn't fit well. So today we're landing on and we're talking about prayer, what prayer looks like, and what it can be really a starting place for prayer. And so it says this in Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now those last words are good advice. Sorry. Those last words are good advice for us as we live in community and how it is essential that we live lives of forgiveness towards others and towards those around us. Now there are some weeks where my study and my research comes from a lot of different places, and this is a week where I'm leaning really heavily on one of my mentors, who is a mentor from a distance by the name of Timothy Keller. And I've talked about him before. I've encouraged you to read some of his books, and a lot of what I'm going to share today comes from him. And I say that because I don't want to pretend like I manufactured this, but really we trust that God inspires these words, that God will speak. And again, another thing that Chanel said is that she heard all these things over years. She heard them and heard them and heard them. And all of a sudden, as she was in that place of submission, she was in that place of talking to Jesus, and was finally in that place of serving, it all came together and they started to make sense. And that's our prayer for us, is that these things that we talk about will develop in clarity, that they will inspire us to understand, really, that Jesus pursues us. Wherever you are, Jesus is coming after you. He wants your heart. He wants you not to control you, but so that you can live in the fullness of what it means to be free, in the fullness of his love. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We are going to rest mainly on that first idea, our Father. If you have a Catholic background, you'll understand that where we Protestants, evangelicals, identify this prayer as the Lord's Prayer, the Catholic Church typically identifies it as Our Father, and I think they get something right when they do that. Because it's really essential that we understand as we come before God, we are coming in relationship to our Father. Now we understand that this is being taught to us by Jesus, who, yes, absolutely was an amazing teacher, but he wasn't just a teacher. Jesus is a risen Savior. Jesus doesn't just point the way to God, he is the way to God. Why? Because he is risen. Where is he? He is interceding for us right beside our Heavenly Father. Now this idea of prayer, and the way that Jesus, right in this passage, is telling us to pray is different than virtually every other religion or philosophy that is out there. Other religions, when they hear that you pray and identify God as Father, somebody who is near a close relationship, it's foreign, because for them, God is somebody who is far off, he is remote, he is distant. He's somebody that looks down on us from afar and is remotely involved, if involved at all. Whereas our God has a hand in our lives. Whereas our God sent His Son, and the Son sent the Spirit who resides within us. Now this week I went and I looked up some different statistics, and the statistics were somewhere in the 80 to 90% of those surveyed, and it wasn't just surveyed in a church, it was surveyed in the general populace of those who would say, I pray. That was the question. Do you pray? Yes, I pray. At least once this last week I have prayed. Was it to God? Well, I don't know if it was to God. It was just that I prayed. And so people are looking, they're searching, they're wanting, they're praying. They're just not necessarily praying to the right God, to the right person. Now Jesus is pointing out in this scripture that there are two ways. There are two ways that we can pray. And sometimes, those of us who are here in this church, sometimes we even filter into the other prayer that Jesus identifies as the pagan prayer. So there's a pagan way of prayer, there's a Christian way of prayer. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray, our Father. See, there's a dividing line here. There's a separation of relationship for how we come before God and how we engage. Now, some people hear verse 8 and they say, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Well, some people will say, well, that means that you don't actually need to ask Jesus for anything. And that's not what Jesus means. Because we go further down, and we're instructed even to ask for our daily bread. Right? The idea here is there are two different ways to approach. There's a religious way, and there's a pagan way. Now, sometimes we think of pagan, and we identify a pagan as somebody who is completely irreligious, somebody who has nothing to do with God, and that's not what is defined here. Pagan way, a pagan is somebody who comes and prays on and prays on and prays on and babbles and babbles and babbles. Trying to get something, trying to engage something, trying to pull something out, trying to manufacture something with their words. Pagans think they're heard. Because of their words, because of everything that they're saying, because of everything that they're doing, because of what they've committed. Whereas Christians think they are heard because of the relationship they have with their Heavenly Father. In fact, Christians know they are heard because of their relationship with their Heavenly Father. And so what we're talking about really is essentially the true basis of prayer. Okay, so this is really essential, really important for each and every one of us in our lives. Because prayer isn't just something that you flip out and expect to get something back. Prayer is about relationship. And Jesus says, this is how you pray. Now, there's two different ways that we approach people in our lives. Okay, two different ways that we fundamentally engage those who are around us. I want you to picture in your head how you and engage strangers. What is socially acceptable for you to engage with a stranger? Let's say you're in downtown Seychelles, you're walking down Cowrie. It would be socially acceptable, and somebody would respond likely If you were to go, hey, do you know what time the next ferry is? Right? That would be okay. That would be permitted. How many of anybody been stuck in a 2 sailing wait so far this year in the spring? Okay, we got a couple 2. Any 3s? Any 3s? It's true. I know. It was 3. Okay, I was to get the chocolate out. Focus. Here we go. Focus. So you can engage and ask about fare. You can ask about the timing. You can ask about scheduling. That's okay. Now what you couldn't do is if you're walking down the road and you see somebody beside you and you don't know them at all and you say, hey, can I have your bag? Will you give me your bag? I've got a hole in my bag. Things are falling out of it. Will you give me your bag? Right? You can't do that because there's no relationship. There's no basis for this engagement. You can't just go. How do you get there? You have to develop your relationship. If you want more, you have to go deeper. And so Jesus is saying there are 2 ways as you engage the Heavenly Father for you to do so. There's a business way of engaging the Father. There's a family way. Right? There's a business way and a family way. A business relationship is the way that the pagans are engaging God. They think they're heard because of their many words. The family relationship is you knowing that you're heard because of your relationship to your Heavenly Father. You are heard because He is your dad. A business relationship is what do you have for me and what I have for you. Right? It's performance-based. It's essentially, if you do this for me, then I will do this for you. A family relationship is different. A family relationship is about who you are to that person. A family relationship is that there is more than just expectations coming out of it. It's a difference between doing, which is that pagan prayer, that business relationship, and being, which is the familial relationship, where you are a child of God. I love that Chanel mentioned the house concept again this morning, because that's an example that I want to use here. If you think about your living arrangements, and obviously there are different degrees and there are different levels, so you can always break an analogy into something else. So I want you to try to stop going there in this moment. You can break it apart later, but in this moment. Where you live in a house, you live generally as either a boarder or as a family member. So when you live as a boarder, you are paying rent and you are expecting that in return, you will receive a clean house or a safe house or a dry house. As a family member, you belong in that house because you are related in that house. See, both of these relationships have obligations. The first interchange, this one, that is the boarding or the business, is an interchange of goods and services. Right? There's money exchanged in exchange for housing. Now, I heard somebody identify that one of the tricky parts, there's this lady who has a large house and she rents out a number of different rooms in her house. And what happens, because she also lives in that house, is relationship starts to develop with those people. And she said she finds this difficult because at a certain point, if one of the boarders is all of a sudden not paying the rent or is not taking care of the house, it becomes difficult to engage that person because you've started to listen to and to care for that person, to hear their problems, to help them. See, that relationship develops. A business relationship is conditional. There are conditions and subjects you have. A family relationship is that relationship that moves towards being unconditional. When we grow up, we live in our parents' home. Sometimes we return back to their home so that we can save up money to buy a new house. It's different. It's a family relationship. You're not a boarder. You are a child. See, in this boarding situation, this pagan prayer, if you perform, you will be accepted. Okay, catch that. If you perform, then you will be accepted. The family paradigm is this. You are accepted, therefore you perform. You are accepted, therefore you perform. Do you see the difference? Well, Jesus is saying that you can approach God as a boarder, you can approach God as a pagan, or you can approach God as a child. Now, let me just read 7 to 9 again, and I want you to hear this. There's a couple of Greek words that I want you to hear. The Greek word for babbling means empty. And the Greek word for many means anxious. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And this is how you should pray, Our Father. Now we have a response when we are in that pagan relationship, a response that comes as a result of prayer. And it's either a resentment or a frustration with or an expected outcome when it's in that performance related or that performance relationship, performance paradigm. So our response is either to be cold or to be anxious. And that's connected to empty, babbling, where you go on and on and on and on and on and on. Or thinking that you're heard because of your many or your anxious words. The cold response is, I've been paying the rent. Every month I pay rent to you. Therefore, I deserve what I expect. Right? That's the cold calculated. I'm paying rent, so you give me what I want. The way that I understand your promises, give those to me. Again, that's the pagan interaction engagement. The anxious response is I haven't been paying the rent. Therefore, I'm guilty, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to process. Now, the other side of this, the family relationship, is we come before our dad, and we lay our hearts bare, and we ask. And clearly, we are supposed to ask, give us this day our daily bread. It's not about monthly bread. It's not about yearly bread. It's about daily bread. We see through Scripture of people petitioning God. We read in Luke 15 of all of these different examples of people going before God and seeking Him out. Clearly, that is part of what we do. We engage our loving Father. Now, here's the difference. When, as a pagan, we're babbling and we don't get what we want, we resent it. We're angry, we're upset, we're betrayed, we didn't get what we expected. When we become, or when we come before our Heavenly Father and we don't receive what we have asked for, our response, especially as we move into maturity, is one of, oh, I trust you, Lord. I trust that if you haven't given me what I asked, you actually know what I need, and that you will actually give me what I need to live a godly life. Now, there is a maturing that has to happen. Do you know what I mean? There is a maturing that has to happen as we move towards there. I have a 4-year-old son. And right now, we are engaging in a little tech fasting in our house. What do I mean by that? You can fast from food. You can fast from all sorts of things. We're fasting from tech. Why? Because tech can consume and take over big parts of your life. Right? Right. We know. We understand. So when I say to my little Zadok, and I say, all right, buddy, no movies today. But Dad, I want Octonauts, which is what he wants right now. And I say no, his response is weeping and gnashing of teeth and getting so upset, right? Which is clearly evidence that this has taken on too much in his life, right? Now, my older boys, when they ask, hey, can we watch a movie, Dad? And I say, hey, you know what? We're just taking a break. And they go, oh, all right, I get it. There is a maturing that happens as they grow up. And I just saw Sam shake his head. Are you still in the... Just getting rid of that chocolate. Come on. Focus. Come on, church. There it is. It worked. There is a maturing that has to happen between the board, sorry, in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's a trusting relationship. It's one where we grow into and we understand that God will give us exactly what we need. Now, it's really fascinating and really essential for us to realize that Jesus doesn't start this prayer with our King. Because God is our King. He doesn't start it with our Creator, because God is our Creator. He doesn't even start it with our friend. He starts it with our Father. And Keller puts it this way, and this is an exact quote. The fatherhood of God is the very essence of what it means to be a Christian. The fatherhood of God is the very essence of what it means to be a Christian. John 1 verse 12 says this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, okay, there's two things that happen first here. There's a receiving of Jesus. There's a submission of your heart to him. There's a believing in his name. He gave the right to become children of God. Just let that sink in. Read it again. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Adoption is the act of the Father. Adoption is the act of the Heavenly Father towards us. Now, we have a number of families in our midst who have adopted. I see Anne, the Metcalfs are not here today, but the Metcalfs as well as the Haynes. And there's something so deep and profound and beautiful about adoption. And I really want to encourage you to have a conversation with one of those families so that it can sink in a little bit. See, adoption, the initial act of adoption does not immediately change the behavior of the child. Can we verify that? We can verify that. So just because a child is adopted does not mean automatically they become this perfect model. But with intentional parenting and teaching and stewarding and care, that behavior can change. What does change is the legal status of the child who's adopted. It changes. You become family. When you adopt someone, you're saying, I will take you as my child. I will love you as though you were my blood. And that, church, is the movement of the Father. That when we believe, we are adopted and drawn to Him. Legally, our status changes. We no longer belong to the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness. We belong then to the kingdom of God. We are no longer slaves. We are children of God. And it's so good, and it's so rich, and it's so deep. And that's why it is so essential. It is so essential that when we come before God in prayer, we approach Him as our Father. We worship Him as our King, as our Creator. We celebrate that Jesus identifies as our friend, but in prayer we come before the Lord as our Father, Dad. And we grow into it, and we develop, and we mature as we go along, don't we? It's good. It's good. Now, here's what I want to challenge you with. And if I can get our prayer teams to make your way forward, and our communion team as well, I want to challenge you to a couple of responses. Okay, first, if this concept or idea of fatherhood and adoption doesn't quite sink in, what I want to challenge you to do is find a family that has adopted a child and listen to the heart movement that happens there. Okay? The second thing is I want to challenge each and every one of us who are here. We have opportunity to gather as a community to pray. And we just heard Chanel identify the essentialness of community. We have an opportunity to come together and to pray for our community, to pray for one another, to pray for God to release His Spirit on us, to renew, to revive, to turn hearts towards Him, away from slavery, away from being a pagan, towards being children of God. I want to challenge you to take and to be part of this prayer that's coming up. The sign-up sheets, Kelly, are on the back. Is that right? Sign-up sheets are on the back. Can I ask you to stand? What a gift, our Father, what a gift it is to stand before you as your children. And so, Lord, I just want to pray and ask that you would move in our hearts, that there would be a connecting of pieces coming together, that we would understand how significant it is that you have adopted us, that you have actually changed our identity, that legally we become children when we receive, when we believe in Jesus. And if you're here today and this idea is something that you've heard and haven't done, or it's something that you are hearing in a fresh way for the first time, I want to invite you to make your way forward to our prayer team. They want to pray with you so that you can accept, you can believe, so you can receive Jesus. Lord, you have come so that we can have freedom. You have pursued us. And from that place, we pursue you. And so we just pray for encounter right now. We celebrate you, our Father. Amen. Amen, church. It's good. It's good to be in God's family. So good. We are going to, some of us have brought picnics. If you didn't bring a picnic lunch, you can hop down to Subway and come back, and we are just going to be relaxed. We don't have to jump out of the theater by any time. We're just going to take it easy. What a gift, hey? What a gift. All right. So, greet one another, pray with one another, encourage one another. When you go by the tables up there, please make sure that you sign up to engage. So we can engage as a community. Bless you this week, church.